right, welcome back to Who's Talking? Hobbo and Frank here, and we have on the line Dr. Glenn Kerr. He's with Ortho Virginia, and he's a University of Colorado. He's a Buffalo. He also served in the military. He was part of Operation Iraqi Freedom, was in Baghdad in 2006. I'm sure he's got a lot of orthopedic stories related to the military. Was at Fort Campbell as the chief of orthopedics there in Kentucky from 2009 to 2011. And in 2012, he was at the Rothman Institute, Thomas Jefferson University. That's the connection to Who's Talking.
How about that?
I didn't know there was a Thomas Jefferson University. I thought that was in Charlottesville.
How about that? Glenn, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Listen, perfect timing, and I'm glad you could join us tonight. And we're so glad that you're in with the program this year.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
Very good. And thank you for carving out a few minutes tonight. I know you all have a big schedule. The only real news that we've got right now at this point concerning the UVA football team injury report, we know that Demetrius Nicholson, Trey Nicholson, the superstar cornerback, is still healing up, rehabbing his ankle and foot following surgery that he had to undergo after the spring game when it was obvious that he hadn't healed up from that turf toe ankle problem combo that he had. Also, Jay Whitmire, who is the projected left tackle, number 77, is still out, and he has a back injury. We're not exactly sure anything more on the details of that. A couple players that were questionable for the game were Draquan Hoskey from Richmond, played at Henrico High School. He had a lower extremity injury, and Siddiqui Olenrewaju, Virginia's left tackle, actually started and played coming back from a knee injury. I noticed he was wearing, it looked like an exoskeleton bulletproof brace on both knees, something a little bit different. And talk about maybe a football player coming back from, maybe a bad knee sprain, and they're trying to protect him. And how do you protect him during the game, and then how do you help him rehab and get him back to full strength?
Sure. The braces, I think, are an important part, but it's, I think, very important to stress that no brace is going to hold up to the forces that are applied on the field. And so really the recovery and kind of return to play starts with him exercising and strengthening his quadriceps and hamstrings, those muscles that support the knee and keep the knee balanced. It's difficult for me to say if he had a ligamentous injury. Some of those will require surgery, and some of those can heal well in a brace. If he's returned to play, I think that the rehab that he does before he steps on the field is going to be key to preventing the knee injury from reoccurring or getting worse while he's playing during the season.
Dr. Kerr, and by the way, this is Dr. Glenn Kerr of Ortho Virginia, and Frank made reference to it. Virginia's had a couple of guys with turf toe. It seems like it takes forever for these guys to recover from that. Any explanation as to why it takes so long to get healed from turf toe?
Sure, and this is an injury that's not uncommon in football. It's between the great toe and those bones that connect the toes to the rest of the foot. And it's a hyperextension, hyperflexion injury. And everything that you do on the football field is going to involve bending of the foot at that area. And it really comes down to, Nicholson had surgery on his turf toe. And it really, it's a good 4 to 6 weeks for the soft tissues, and certainly on 6 or 8 weeks for a surgery to heal after that. But it's just every single time that the foot hits the ground and they push off, you're bending through that joint, and that's what takes them so long to return to play at a high level.
Glenn, one last question for you. You probably don't see too many back injuries. What do you commonly see in your practice today along the lines of hips and knees? I know you're a specialist in that area.
Mm-hmm. I do see a couple of back injuries, but for hips and knees, oftentimes with football players, these are not arthritic hips or arthritic knees. Certainly things like meniscal and ACL tears can occur in hip strike or a pointer where the player takes a direct blow to the hip, can be a limiting injury, but it's not one that is going to remove them from play. But oftentimes, kind of later in life, they can have hip and knee related issues, and I'd be seeing him kind of down the line rather than acutely off the field.
Very good. Well, we're going to turn you loose so you can make your meeting, and I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and we hope to bring you back later this fall.
Well, I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much for having me on, and I'll look forward to talking to you again.
Very good. All right, that was Dr. Glenn Kerr of Ortho Virginia. All right, we're going to pivot quickly here to one of our favorite contributors from the Saber, none other than Chris Horn.
And I don't think we have him on the air yet, or on the phone just yet. So we'll get him here momentarily.
All right, he's
there's a lot of news on the recruiting front.
Well, it's interesting, and I'll fill in while we wait for Chris to hook up with us. Chris and I were talking earlier today. Young man Grant Polk, a 6'6", 290-pound beast that plays offensive line, committed to Virginia by essentially signing some financial aid paperwork that makes him eligible if he graduates early to enroll early in January. And this is not a binding agreement. It's not a letter of intent, but it paves the way if everything else falls in place. And if the young man graduates early, he can obviously enroll early if the school takes him. So right now it appears the school has blessed him and has accepted his application. So, and that's good news because, again, like I said, he's 6'6", 290. You don't find too many high school football players with that kind of frame. And
from Florida, too.
From Florida, right? Which, you know, is a little unusual. But we're...
He's on the line now.
Oh, we good. Chris. Yeah. Chris Horn with the Saber. Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Good timing, my man. All right. Let's talk about UVA recruiting football. Great guns. What do we got, like 20 kids or something that have verbally committed? And maybe give us a little snapshot of maybe the top four or five most highly rated players.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, that's right. Frank, they got Virginia has 20 verbal commitments in the 2015 class, and a few headliners, a couple of linebackers. Giovanni Simmons out of Virginia Beach, who's a four-star kind of middle linebacker, again for Ocean Lakes High School, which is a school that Virginia's enjoyed some success recruiting. Eli Harold attended there. Corin Cutler, who's a quarterback, who's a freshman quarterback at UVA, attended there as well. Simmons is kind of your typical inside middle linebacker, very good against the run, just kind of a savvy player, and a guy who, talking to his coach, comes up in the biggest games, makes big plays in big situations. C.J. Stalker is another linebacker, about 6'3", 220 pounds, out of Ohio. He's a guy who could play the middle, probably is going to play the middle as well, or could play middle, but could get a look at the outside linebacker spot as well. So Virginia's got certainly a couple of good linebackers already in the fold. In addition, they have a few solid offensive line prospects. Grant Polk, who actually took an official visit to Virginia this past weekend and plans to enroll at Virginia in January of 2015, is a 6'6", 290-pound offensive. He's being recruited as an offensive tackle, but he's a guy who has the potential to move inside if needed, but plays out of Florida, and Virginia beat out a few SEC schools for him. Mississippi State, most notably, was definitely interested in him. And there's a few other offensive, you know, solid-looking offensive line pieces. R.J. Proctor out of Liberty Bealton, in-state kid. 6'4", about 300-plus pounds, a guy who could, probably going to be an interior lineman. A kid I like a lot, certainly, is David Eldridge III out of Kettle Run High School in Virginia. A guy I think could be kind of an under-the-radar type of kid. He's probably about 6'1", 185 pounds, but he's very fluid, a very fluid receiver. When he's running, he just runs by people. It doesn't look like he's running that fast, but he's going by. He's a long strider, but definitely another good addition to pretty promising looking receiving core. So those are some guys. Of course, quarterback Nick Johns out of Gonzaga, that Virginia beat out Maryland and NC State for him. So they do have a quarterback coming in this class as well. So Definitely a few names there, but definitely those two linebackers I mentioned are pretty good and probably two of the headliners in this class.
One player that I want to ask you about is this young man from South Carolina, Rasul Clemens.
Right, yes,
the defensive end.
Yep.
He's 6'6", 205 pounds, kind of lean, but I understand he's quite the player.
Oh, yeah, I definitely did not mean to leave him out. He kind of was one of the more recent commitments along with Javonte Simmons. But definitely another four-star kid, and by many recruiting services, he is the top guy in this class. As you mentioned, about 6'6", 200-plus pounds. Definitely got a frame. He definitely needs to add some strength and weight, but a kid who's extremely quick off the ball. I believe one of his games earlier on in the season, he had 11 tackles, I believe two tackles for loss, and had a big game certainly earlier in the season. But a kid who is kind of like, could kind of be like a Max Vallis type, like a hybrid guy, like line up at defensive end sometimes, outside linebacker. Of course, number 88 for Virginia has off to a pretty good start in his career, certainly a big-time playmaker so far. And Rasul kind of fits that bill, I think, in terms of athleticism and size at like 6'6", about 200 pounds. And, if he can add a lot more weight, maybe he can, be more of an Eli Harold in terms of being more of a pure end type of guy as well. But definitely a kid who's going to, who adds, along with Simmons and Stalker, three definite playmakers in the front seven that that Virginia's been able to add this summer.
All right, in Coach London's perfect world of recruiting, if he could take five more players, who are those five players they're competing for, and what position do they play very quickly?
Well, certainly they're looking at a kid named Freddie Simmons, who's a receiver out of Pennsylvania. It appears they'd like will take another receiver, but definitely got to start Ricky DeBerry out of Richmond, Virginia. Here he's a linebacker at Attlee High School now. He attended St. Christopher's last year. He's definitely a top target for the Hoos, and he's got offer. He was actually at Oklahoma this weekend for an official visit, but Virginia's in the mix for him. Certainly Tim Settle, who was in this past weekend on an unofficial visit to see the game. He's a 6'3", 310-pound defensive tackle out of Stonewall Jackson, a kid that Virginia was in great shape with early on. It's kind of fallen back, but I think with a good season, Virginia could get back in the mix with him. I mentioned Freddie Simmons, who's a really good-looking athlete, a good receiver, another tall receiver, so Virginia's definitely been going after those types of guys. Johnny Patrician is a kid that is a safety, 6'2", 195 pounds, out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Visited this past weekend. Definitely a kid that's high on Virginia's radar at this point. And then a highly rated kid that Virginia is definitely in the mix for, is trying to get in the mix for, is Matthew Burrell out of Woodbridge, Virginia, Hilton High School. At this point, I think he's probably leaving the state, but he's another offensive line, and of course, he'd like to add some more offensive linemen to the mix to add depth. He's a guy who could play guard, probably a guard in my opinion, but definitely if Virginia could get him, I think they would certainly be pretty happy. 6'5", about 290 pounds, a guy who's being recruited, by schools all over the country, has been on an official visit to Ohio State. So those are some definite names still left on the wish list for the Hoos. And again, as I mentioned, if they finish out pretty strong, I think guys like DeBerry and Settle and Burrell, they're going to give Virginia a definite, a much closer look.
All right, Chris, your first visit to Who's Talking Season 6, but I can assure you it will not be your last.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
I keep thinking once Coach London secures his position and starts consistently winning 8-9 games, this recruiting is really going to take off, but we can discuss that at a later time. At any rate, we thank you as always for joining us tonight.
Thank you guys for having me as always. Congratulations on another season.
Thank you, Chris. All right, quickly, a couple of promotions we need to mention. Number one, the UVA Club of Richmond has their membership kickoff event on October the 2nd at the American Tap House in Willow Lawn. Just go to the UVA Club of Richmond website and register. That'll be a lot of fun. I think your old running mate, Barry Parkhill, is the guest speaker.
I understand that. So, all right. You know, the questions he can't answer, I'll take.
I'm pretty certain he's got it covered. All right. There's the Tee It Up Golf Tournament up in Charlottesville on October the 3rd, which is the very next day. Some former members of the men's and women's golf teams will actually play with select foursomes, and this all benefits the UVA men's and women's golf programs. And that's, I believe, Friday, October the 3rd.
Yeah, on the eve of the Pittsburgh home football game.
Right, so. And this is at Birdwood. It's a tremendous deal, very inexpensive to play overall. Contact the Virginia Athletics Foundation at 800-626-8723.
Real quick, before we go to break, and after the break, we got Chris with the Olympic Report, but let's do the LeClaire Ryan play of the game.
Good job, Hobbo. All right, Ian Fry kicked a 42-yard game-winning field goal with 3:47 left on the clock. Perfect execution as long snapper Tyler Shirley delivered a crisp snap to holder Matt Johns for good placement, and Fry made a confident kick that split the uprights with room to spare.
That's what Bing Crosby would say, right down the middle.
Oh, right down the middle.
That's a different sport.
Sorry. Whoa! It was a big kick for Ian Fry and the whole team, and if you saw the sideline at that moment, there was a lot of emotion. Anyway, we're going to head to break. When we come back, we're going to have the Olympic Sports Report with Chris Sill, and we're going to break down the upcoming games, including Virginia at Brigham Young.